It's good to be with you this morning. I'm Brother Rene Monet, my sweet wife Vicki. We normally attend the 10 o'clock service, and I'm Debbie's dad, Albert's father-in-law. We recently retired last March from pastoring almost 40 years in Louisiana, founded and raised up a large church, and we're excited to be here, enjoying being retired and enjoying Promised Land Church. And I thank Brother Robin for giving me the opportunity to finish up chapter 5 of 1 Peter. I love preaching through the Word of God. We've done that for, like you say, almost 40 years, so we enjoy this, giving an opportunity, and I appreciate that. Brother Robin, I believe, is in preaching in Dallas. So I want to share with you really kind of a culmination of chapter 5, because this is really the sum of chapter 5. It summarizes and culminates, and I think what I call a key verse. Whenever you take a whole chapter, you want to look for a key verse. What is that verse that summarizes that chapter? And the first that I feel like summarizes not just chapter 5, but really the whole book of 1 Peter, and that is verse 5. The last part of verse 5, it says this: "And all of you, serve each other in humility, for God opposes the proud, but he gives favor to the humble." We want to preach on that. We want to share from our heart what I believe God is saying. And before we do that, let's pray. Father, I thank you for help. I can't do this without you, Lord. I thank you for your anointing of the Holy Spirit, that you would be upon each of us, and that you would speak through me, Lord. I need your help. I need your strength. I can't do it without you. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, the whole series in 1 Peter has been called different, and this is true. We are different. How many of you know you are different? You are different from the people around you. People think you are different. Well, you think they are different. We are different. But this verse 5 tells us that we are to serve one another, each other, in humility. For God opposes the proud, but he gives favor to the humble. And this is what Jesus came to tell us, that his ways give us a new perspective. We walked into Sam's the other day. We went to church, and about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I went into Sam's Club on our way home. Wife was in shopping. I parked the car, and I was coming in, walking in by myself, and there was a family ahead of me, mother, daddy, and 2 children, and they had 2 little dogs, you know, little tiny dogs. So the children, probably 8 and 10 years old, they were carrying the dogs. And the guy that checks the cards at Sam's Club, he asked the lady and said, "Are those service dogs?" And I thought, there's no way these are service dogs, you know, they're like that. And she said, "No." Well, when she said no, he said, you can't bring these dogs into the Sam's. You're going to have to put them back out in the car." And I thought, well, that's the end of that, you know, just put them back in the car and let the kids stay with them, whatever. But you would have thought someone shot her. Oh, my goodness. She began to yell and scream and curse and just made a scene that you wouldn't believe. And she was a little bit ahead of me, and I began to back up thinking, what's this lady going to do? And I thought, we're going to have a knockdown, down, drag out between her and this man. And then she looked at her husband, and she said, "Go take them dogs out to the car." And I thought, I know who's boss here. And so husband, yes, ma'am, and he got the dogs, and he headed to the car. And she kept making a scene. She wanted everybody in that whole area to know how unhappy she was. And she looked over at me like, What do you think about this? And I wasn't saying a word. Thought, lady, this lady bit my head off. I'm not saying anything. But you know, afterwards, I thought, this is a microcosm of our society today. This is the way things are. You don't like anything, it doesn't go your way, you're going to let the whole world know. Nobody seems to respect authority. And it's not just not respect authority, you're going to let everybody know how upset you are about it. And as if her scene was somehow going to change the rules. And personally, I can kind of see the practicality in not everybody bringing their dogs and Sam's. You know, while you're shopping for food, you know, you don't want messes on the floor or whatever. So I can understand that rule. But this is the way life is. But do you notice how different her attitude was to what it says here in 1 Peter 5? Serve one another with humility. That's different. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul tells us to prefer others over ourselves. And then he says to think of others highly, more highly than you think of yourself. Everything Jesus taught in the Beatitudes, everything was a different attitude, a different way. Serving others in humility. What a great way to end 1 Peter. To understand what that means. And what we want to do this morning is we want to kind of look at what does it mean? What does that look like? Because it is so different, and that's kind of the name of this series. And all of 1 Peter is, we're different. And so what I want to talk about is, how does this translate into our everyday life? Because when I preach, I love for it to apply to our everyday life. So the very first thing I see, and that is that serving one another with humility will mean difficult times. Kind of a strange thing to, if you think about it, but look at verse 12, which is kind of near the end of the chapter. It's a short chapter. Look at verse 12. It says this. It says, I have written and sent this short letter to you with the help of Silas, whom I commend to you as a faithful brother. My purpose for writing is to encourage you and to assure you that what you are experiencing is truly part of God's grace for you. Stand firm in that grace. What kind of grace were they experiencing? Persecution, difficult times, hard times. The world was persecuting them. The Emperor Nero was persecuting them. They were ridiculed. They were made fun of. Many of them were killed. And Peter wanted to understand, being a Christian means we are going to suffer persecution. Jesus said it this way, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. They don't like me, they're not going to like you. Why? Because we are different. And the key thing is that we learn to respond differently to life situations. We must learn to respond to life situations differently than we did before. We have to have a new perspective. And if we're going to get a hold of this, then we have to accept the fact that life is not going to go as we planned. Have y'all figured that out? Life is not about you anyway. It is about Him and bringing honor and glory to Him. And so we might as well just accept the fact that things are not going to go our way. So therefore, if we accept the fact that things are not going to go our way, then we don't have to get bent out of shape when things don't go our way. And we can stop and respond differently. We can serve one another with humility. We can have a new perspective. And here's what it does. It prepares us to serve. It prepares us to be able to handle life situations. And It allows God's grace to be worked into us, and it purifies our heart. And that gets us ready for God to use us in a greater way. So understand that in this life, and I know sometimes we're told that if you'll just become a Christian, everything is going to be wonderful. And I want to tell you, when you become a Christian, everything is not going to be wonderful. That's the truth. In fact, it is not easy. But the good news is He is more than enough in us in every situation. If we will get a hold of this simple principle, because actually this principle is woven throughout the entire New Testament. Serve one another with humility. If you remember chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4 that Brother Robin preached, he talked about submitting to one another, submitting to each other in husband and wife and other relationships. And that's why this is summarizing everything that he said before. So the very first thing we have to get a hold of, that it's going to mean some tough times. It may mean persecution. But here's the good news. Serving one another with humility, this is the second thing, and that is, it will increase the value of those around us. I want you to consider that just for a moment. You see, we are called, as Christians, to literally increase the value of the people around us. The way we treat them when life doesn't go our way literally can increase their value. Build them up, encourage them, strengthen them. And here's the neat thing. When you increase the value of other people around you, it increases your value. You are built up. You're encouraged. Remember back in Genesis 15 when God made a promise to Abraham? He said this. He said, in blessing you will be blessed. Powerful verse. In blessing you will be blessed. He's literally saying, when you bless others, it's like a boomerang. You throw out that blessing, whoom, it comes right back and you will be blessed. And the more you bless others, the more you are blessed. And as you serve and give to others and help others in humility, you will be blessed. As you build up others, you will be built up and encouraged. Literally, we will increase our value and the value of that person. Now, the principle I'm talking here, it works in every relationship, not just husband and wife, but every relationship you have, this works. Now, here's the bad side. If you respond bad, anger, frustration, in a situation, instead of building that person up, what are you going to do? You're going to build a wall. You're going to build a wall between those two people. Now, I'm going to ask my sweet wife to come up here. We've been married 41 years, and we are happy, and we are happily married, and what we're about to do is not the normal, okay? She's agreed to do this. And we're going to just give a small illustration, but I want to put a strong disclaimer here. This is not normal. I don't talk this way normally, okay? Okay, so we're going to play like, right? Here we go. Tomorrow, let's say Saturday morning, we got up, and I said, hey, sweetheart.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. You know the breakfast that you fixed this morning?
Yeah.
That's like a burnt offering.
What?
I mean, I could have used those pancakes as frisbees.
Well, I don't appreciate that at all.
Well, that may be true.
You know, you could make your own breakfast.
Yeah, I know. But yeah. Speaking of breakfast, you know, my mama can cook better than you.
Can you believe we've been married 41 years, and he's still talking about his mama's cooking? I can't believe it. Well, I'm not your mama. Thank God.
I know you're not my mama.
I'm not your mama.
Well, I want to tell you, speaking of the way you're looking this morning, you know, what you put on this morning, that could use a lot to be desired.
Oh, my goodness. Where are you sleeping tonight?
Well, I was hoping with you. Well, you know, if you would just buy what you could with what I gave you, you know, you're always spending money, and I never know where it goes.
Well, I need some things, and you just need to give me some more, and then things would be a whole lot better around here. I would be a whole lot happier.
Yeah, well, truth of it is.
Wait a minute. You know, we were talking about your mama.
Yeah.
I'm not your mama, but
yeah.
You treat me like your mama because you leave your socks on the floor in the
me?
Living room. Yes,
me?
You. Yes, you. And
I
you
put
expect
them in the clothes
me
hamper.
To pick up after you. Now, you know what? Can't you hit that laundry basket? I mean, you can hit a deer. You can kill a deer with one shot, even with a bow and arrow. With an arrow, you can kill a deer, and you can't hit the laundry basket.
Yeah, well,
that's
enough of
goodness.
That. You're meddling now. Come on. Now, I want you to just think just for a moment. This is the way some of your marriages are. You've got a wall between you, and you wonder why you don't feel like you love each other. You wonder why you can't talk. And this is not just husband and wife. Maybe between you and your mom, you and your dad, you and your children. By our words, our hurtful words and anger and frustration, we built a wall. And we don't realize it, but our words will either increase the value of the person around us or they'll build a wall between you. And I want to encourage you to examine this morning, what are your words building? Now, here's the good news, folks. Good words can go the other way. You could get up yesterday morning and say, hey, sweetie, I just want you to know that was one good breakfast, sweetie.
Oh, yeah, I know. It was a little burned. I'm sorry. I just got... You know,
that's
distracted.
Right.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It doesn't matter. You know, and you are looking good this morning.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
You would say that. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're looking good. I'm
well,
hoping you're sleeping with me tonight.
I'm liking you a little bit better, too.
We got to redeem this, you know. Here, let's just get this old wall between
yeah,
us.
Yeah, I don't like the wall.
Yeah. We just want
I
you to
I hate it when we argue.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, sweetie. Just a simple illustration, but the truth is there. Your words have a way of building a wall between you. And I just wonder if there's anybody in here that you feel that wall. This is one of the solutions. Serving one another in humility with a new attitude. You can break down that wall. It's not always the other person's fault. Sometimes it's our fault, just in the way we respond. Third thing I want us to understand, and that is serving one another in humility. What this means, and it's important for what follows this verse, and that is serving one another means we will have the ability to resist the enemy. It's not just by chance that the few verses follow up after we're to serve one another. Look, if you would, to verse 8 and 9. It says this, in 8 and 9 it says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering that you are. You see, when you serve one another in humility, you shut the enemy down. You stop the enemy from being able to separate you. Pride opens the door for destruction in your marriage or in relationship. But humility will close that door. The book of James, chapter 3, as you read that whole chapter, James says this. He says, where there's arguing and fighting among you, it's sensual, it's fleshly, and demonic. Demonic. You see what he's telling us? He's telling us that in the midst of when you fight and you holler and you yell and you scream at one another, the devil just sits there and laughs and says, oh yeah, I got him. And he is successful in destroying your relationships. Because when there's arguing and fighting, no humility, then the devil's at work. Many times we've had couples come and sit and talk to Vicki and I over the years, and we've heard this phrase, well, I just feel like I don't love him anymore. I just feel like we're not in love. Truth of it is, they've given the enemy the opportunity to build a wall. And the devil has taken advantage of that and destroyed what they felt. But I believe that love is not feelings, it's a choice. You choose to love, regardless of your feelings. You see, your feelings will follow your choices. You choose to love. It's a willing choice, and then your feelings will follow. Don't give the enemy the opportunity. What does the enemy want to do? He wants to destroy your destiny. The enemy wants to destroy your witness. The enemy wants to destroy your effectiveness as a Christian. And if he can get you arguing and fighting and thinking you're better than everybody else and thinking life has to go your way, and you ignore this principle of serving one another in humility, then the enemy will be allowed to bring destruction in your life. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. You can be different. Satan is looking for people who will refuse to humble themselves. Because right there, he can effectively destroy your influence. A lot of people wonder why they're not being effective for Jesus. You know, it's not the way you act here that really counts. Everybody can act holy at church, you know. In fact, you all, when you walked in, you looked really holy. But God's not impressed, and the devil's sure not impressed. It's the way you act when you get outside the door. In our church in Louisiana, we had a title written on the exit doors. You are now entering your mission field. As soon as you leave the doors, you are entering the mission field. Out there, that's the mission field. In here, this is where we enjoy this. This is church. We get to worship God. We love each other. And it's easy to look holy and be holy. But it's when you get in life situations, when you disagree about something, just let it go. You know, I talked to a man. They had been yelling and screaming at one another, and they couldn't get along. And I said, you know, guy, why don't you just be nice? Just be nice to your wife. And I finally just asked him, why can't you be nice? He looked at me and said, you know, nobody at my home that I was growing up in, nobody was ever nice. Mom yelled at my daddy. He yelled back at her. We all yelled at one another. And he said, I don't know another way. I'd never known another way. And I said, I understand that, but you can be better than your daddy. You don't have to live in the sins of your parents. You can be better than the way you grew up. You can change. That's why the Bible calls us to be different. We are called to be different, not the same. And so I want to encourage you. And you will, you know, whenever I preach a message like this, you can be assured you will have some opportunities this week to be different. You will get some opportunities when things are not going to go the way you like. And somebody's going to disagree with you, and somebody's going to say something you don't like, and you're going to have an opportunity to choose which way you respond. I want to encourage you to respond by serving them with humility. Truthfully, I have to say this. You cannot do this without Jesus. You can't. You cannot serve other people without Jesus. Unless you have a true relationship with Jesus, you can't do it. You can try to be. You can try to be religious, but you know religious doesn't cut it. You have to have a true relationship with Jesus, where Jesus comes into your heart and gives you a brand new heart and a new mind and a new spirit and fills you with the Holy Spirit and changes you from the inside out. Then you become a brand new creation in Christ. And then and only then can you really respond differently to life situations. There's a powerful verse that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 10. He said this, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. He said this. He said, everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But here's the backside. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Understand, Jesus was telling us that there is something powerful about the words that we speak. Paul said it in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. For you believe in your heart and are made right with God. And then you confess with your mouth and you shall be saved. Confession is made unto salvation. Same idea as Matthew 10, 32 and 33. The idea is that what we speak with our words about declaring Jesus as the Lord of our life causes something to happen in our heart. You may say this morning, well, I believe in Jesus. Well, congratulations. You've made it to the same thing the demons do. Because the demons believe and know who Jesus is. You have to have more than a head knowledge of who Jesus is. That will not get you one inch toward heaven. It is by believing about what Jesus did at the cross, and then confessing Him as Lord and Master and Savior of your life, and a surrender to His Lordship, that's when a new transformation takes place inside of us. And it requires acknowledging. I'm going to ask you, if you would, just to bow your head for a moment. We've talked this morning about serving one another in humility. And I've just explained that we have to acknowledge Him. If we're really going to have a relationship with Jesus that gives us that ability, it requires a willingness to stand up for Jesus and acknowledge Him before men. God does not call us to be secret agents for Jesus. He calls us to be public witnesses for Jesus. If you're here this morning, maybe you have thought about this or you've considered it, but maybe you've never stepped out and acknowledged Jesus as Lord. You've not confessed that with your mouth. If you would be willing to take that next step this morning and acknowledge Him publicly, I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand. Anybody? Yes, bunch of hands. Yes, bunch of hands. Okay, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. It's going to take some courage. But Jesus went to the cross for us. We can do this. First thing I'm going to ask you to do is everybody stand to your feet. If you would, just stand to your feet. And I would like to pray with you. I would like to corporately pray with that group that raised their hand and anyone else. I'm going to ask you to make your way out of your seat, come right down here and stand right down at the front. I want to pray with you. If you would be willing to publicly acknowledge Jesus as the Lord of your life. Yes. Yes. Come on. Holy Spirit, draw them. Holy Spirit. Yes. Anybody else? Yes, come. Willingness. Holy Spirit. The Bible says that when you're willing to do this, you become a brand new creation in Christ. Jesus comes in and He washes away your sin whiter than snow. He makes you a brand new creation in Christ. You're welcomed into the family of God. You have a relationship. And here's the amazing thing. He takes out the old heart and gives you a brand new heart, and He puts in the Holy Spirit in your heart. Wow. That means you get to go out of here with a brand new heart. Amazing. Here we go. Okay, here we go. I'm going to pray, and as I pray, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Pray out loud with me, okay? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare Jesus as the Lord of my life. I confess I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I claim the blood of Jesus as the forgiveness for my sin. Come into my heart. Give me a new heart. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Live inside of me. According to your word, I am born again right now because I have acknowledged you. I've confessed you. And I am born again by the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Let's sing. Let's worship the Lord. Yes.
I will give my life upon your
week, the enemy may come and say, nothing really happened. And I just want you to know that's the enemy, and that's a lie. You have done what the Word of God said. That's powerful. And if the devil does say that, just declare the truth. I'm born again by the Spirit of God. I've confessed Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. According to His Word, I am born again. I'm a new person. I'll never be the same again. And for those of you who have struggled with your responses, the way you responded to one another, and when we built that wall, that witness to your heart, I want to tell you, you'll have another opportunity to pull that wall down this week. Let's pull it down, okay? I love you. Amen.
Amen.